This TFMR podcast is brought to you by your friends at JM Bullion. Visit jmbullion.com for all your gold and silver bullion needs. Well, greetings once again to everybody out there at TFMR. It is Thursday. That means it's time for your weekly Thursday conversation. And we're going to visit today with an old friend. We haven't had a chance to talk to Keith Neumeyer for several months. I think it goes well back into 2018. He's been awfully busy. And it's good to finally get a chance to track him down and get caught up on everything that's happening with his company, First Majestic Silver, where he is, of course, president and CEO, but he's also, you know, the chairman of First Mining Gold, which is a company a lot of us here at TFMR continue to hold shares in as well. Anyway, has been a very busy year for Keith, and I'm glad to be able to bend his ear for a few minutes. So, Keith, thank you so much for taking some time and spending it with us.
Well, thanks, Craig, and good chatting with you again. It has been a few months for sure. I think mid last year.
I know. I don't even know where the time goes, especially with the year that we had last year in prices. I mean, why don't we just start there? I can't wait to. I want to talk to you about First Majestic, and I want to talk about where we're going this year and how you see the economy and prices going forward and that kind of stuff. But holy cow, Keith, here we just went through another bombing run by the banks as they control prices. I want to kind of frame this. I don't know if you have much chance to follow palladium at all. I know you don't produce palladium, but the palladium price is just going through the roof, and it is. We're hoping it will eventually shine the light of, I guess, fraud on how they price gold and silver, because they price gold and silver the way they do palladium. They can't stop it. It's a physical supply shortage. What do you make of the recent action in silver specifically? And I would imagine you've got some thoughts on where you think it might be going from here.
Well, I definitely don't trust the markets, and I don't trust the numbers that come out on silver, you know, whether it's the Silver Institute, which we're members of, by the way, or whether it's, you know, GFMS or, you know, CPM or, you know, any of these groups that put data out on silver. I just completely find it, you know, all farcical. None of it makes a lot of sense to me. And the price doesn't make any sense either. You know, we started 2018 at close to $18 silver. And within 6 months, we were, you know, below 14. And you know, and we pulled off our biggest acquisition in the history of the company in May of last year. And I suppose I should be happy with the price movement in silver, because, you know, if silver didn't do what it did, we probably wouldn't be able to acquire all these great mines that we've acquired. We took out Santa Elena at the end of 2015, you know, a 5 million ounce producer. You know, we took out San Dimas mid-2018, a 13 million ounce producer. You know, to replace both of those mines today would be, you know, two, three times the value which we paid for them. So I suppose I should have a smile on my face, just because, you know, the market is so stupid. You know, smart companies, you know, like ourselves, I suppose, and even like First Mining Gold, for example, you know, have been able to acquire, you know, great assets at bottom basement prices. And but it does get frustrating, because, you know, as a CEO, you know, we're trying to manage a business, and then we put our budgets together. We, you know, we choose a metal price going forward, you know, for the upcoming year, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, the metal price drops by whatever amount. And, you know, for a company our size, for every dollar move in the silver price, it's about a $25 million move on our profits, which is, you know, pretty substantial.
Yeah, no doubt. You know, and Keith, you mentioned the industry association. It is. I have tried to find on my own. I can find numbers from 2 years ago about the size of the global gold hedge book. Do you have any sense at all of the size, the amount of forward selling and hedging that silver producers do? Do you, I mean, can you find that information anywhere?
I don't think so. You know, as far as I can tell, or at least as far as I know, you know, the primary guys, you know, us, you know, which is the purest company in the world, of course,
yeah. But,
you know, let's say the top 10 silver producers who claim they're silver producers anyways, you know, wouldn't dare to hedge silver, because their shareholders would absolutely revolt. But, you know, the other big conglomerates, the big copper producers, the big gold producers, you know, who have a tiny amount of their revenue in the form of silver, but yet it could be big ounces. But I mean, these are huge billion-dollar companies that are, you know, producing primarily copper, but you know, they might have 10 or 20 million ounces of silver production, which for, you know, for us or, you know, another silver company would be huge, but for them it's tiny. they don't really give a hoot about what the price is doing. So they'll forward sell that metal, but they don't report it because they're reporting in copper equivalency, or they're reporting in gold equivalency. So yeah. It's just, it's a speck in the whole scheme of things for them. So it doesn't even show up in their materiality.
So needless to say then, the idea that, say, from the 1st of January to Valentine's Day, that suddenly the world's silver producers, whether they're primary or, secondary, that they didn't show up with, 200 million ounces to hedge and forward sell in the first 40 days of the year. Would that be a safe statement, you think?
That's guaranteed that could not and did not happen.
Okay, because as I've been pointing out to anybody that would listen, as soon as the price moved above the 200-day moving average on January the 3rd, the banks that make the markets in COMEX silver increased the amount of contracts by 45,000 from 178 to 224.
Yeah, that's just paper.
Yeah, it's 225 million ounces that they just printed. So anyway, that's certainly not hedging, right? These are just banks that are just taking the risk of being short, thinking they can outweigh the specs.
Yeah, it's just naked shorts or shorting, and however they do it, it's pretty ridiculous. The regulators let it happen. They know what happens. They're too afraid to step in and change the rules. The rules are quite clear, and if you go in on into the COMEX website and look for their rules, and I've seen them myself, and Ted Butler has talked about this. I'm not the only one that's ever brought this to light, but you. As an investor, or even as the corporate, the total amount of ounces or contracts any individual can buy is 1,000 contracts, and but yet there's no limit on the sell side. So yeah. You could sell 3,000 contracts if you wanted to. So as long as there's no limit on the short side or the sell side, and there's a limit on the buy side, all of a sudden the market's skewed from the beginning.
Yeah. So how do you keep your sanity, Keith, before we get to the specifics of the company? I mean, your primary product is the price of it is determined by the trading of derivative contracts that are in no way linked to your product at all. That just got to drive you crazy.
It does. It's very frustrating. I've been in this mining sector for 35 years. I've always thought that the system would crack and it would get better, but it just does not seem to get better. And if your listeners would go to a mine and actually see the amount of blood and sweat and tears,
yeah, exactly,
and costs in energy and oil and chemicals and you name it, equipment, tires, and all the stuff that goes into getting a ton of rock out of the ground and get a process into some sellable metal. And you get, maybe out of this huge 1-ton block of rock, if you're lucky, you might get 2 or 3 ounces of silver out of it. At today's price, that's $45 worth of silver you get out of this ton of rock, and it's gone through a ton of hard work.
Yeah.
First you drill it and find it, then you got to run a tunnel to the darn thing. And then you got to pull it out and extract it. Then you got to take it to the surface. You got to put it through a mill. You throw a bunch of chemicals at it. Get all the metal out of it. Then you got to send it to a refinery to get it, into 999, sellable products. And then you got a product to sell.
Yeah. And the guys are risking their lives trying to get this stuff out of the ground just so they can feed their families, across Central America or Mexico, where you are. And yet the price is a game just for fun by these bankers on Wall Street, so they can keep their bonus pools up. But anyway, I digress. I want to talk instead about what you had mentioned earlier. I mean, you're using this time to your advantage. It's just like all of us that are stacking metal. We're taking advantage of the low prices just to, just keep averaging down if that's the case or whatever. I mean, they're going to. Where they're going to give us these opportunities, we're going to take it. And you've done it. I mean, you've had a great year at First Majestic. Your revenues are soaring. Your production is the most it's ever been. Your all-in sustaining costs are coming down. And then you've acquired, again, most recently, this, what is it, San Dimas, I think is the name of it. Tell us all, just give us, the 37,000-foot CEO view of how things are going at First Majestic.
Yeah, sure. No, the company's doing great. It's I'm frustrated at the metal price. You know, if we had $17, $18 silver, we would be much more comfortable, and I'm sure the stock would also trading much better than it currently is. It's not the stock's not trading that badly. It's actually up on the year, which is nice to see. We had a decent year, but it was a bit challenging. You know, I did not expect silver prices to go from $18 to $14 or sub $14 in 2018, and we really had to start changing the business. You know, we started off 2018 very aggressively with big exploration projects, big development projects, and we're pretty optimistic about the future. And then we bought the San Dimas mine, which is currently our largest mine, 13 million silver equivalent ounce producer, so it's huge operations. Largest silver gold mine in the state of Durango. It's one of the most important silver gold mines in the country of Mexico. Been in production for over 200 years, and now we've got it in our portfolio, and just absolutely, tickled pink about, having it, finally being the owner of this asset, which I've had my eye on for over a decade. And it's taken a lot of hard work to buy it, and we finally did buy it, and now we got it. So it's become a cornerstone of our business, and it's going to really assist some of the weaker mines, because we do have a couple of problem childs that are somewhat challenged in this current metal price environment. With low margins, they're not getting the investment that they really need to really have these smaller mines turned around. So we're just operating them as we can, the best we can. And we've got, two big assets, Santa Elena, which is a 5 million ounce producer, and San Dimas, which is a 13 million ounce producer, which is really 75% of our total production and about 90% of our profits. And, we're using these big two cornerstone assets to finance the other operations, which is, what we have to do as a business. And I'm optimistic. I think we're going to have a pretty, good 2019. And I'm expecting higher metal prices, this year and obviously in 2020 as well.
And just one thing about those earnings, I saw a couple of analysts trying to claim that suddenly First Majestic was not looking as good because the amount of their amount of cash you have on hand versus your debt had changed, but that's just specific mainly to these acquisitions, right? I mean, you're using cash to build up the company.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure where some of these analysts come up with their ideas. It's the company's been around for 17 years. There's a pretty good management team behind the company. We know how to move and shake, with metal prices. As metal prices go up, we invest more. As metal prices drop, we invest less. And I think not only have we proven that we're nimble as a management team, I think we've proven ourselves as very good acquirers. We've built this business by acquiring really good assets that other people have built and developed. And we've come in with new eyes and new blood and new money. You look at San Dimas when we bought it. The costs were $160 a ton, and today, the costs are around $120 a ton. And we expect over the next 12 to 18 months, we're going to get those costs down below $100 a ton. So, great. I think we're good operators, and we've proven ourselves. But there's a hate on the mining sector. There's a hate on gold and silver. So, if people don't like the industry, which obviously seems like the majority of people out there right now don't. You're going to see articles like that show up.
Yeah. Let me ask you while I've got you too about First Mining Gold. I remember we like the Spring Pole project, one we've talked about before. How are things looking with that company?
Yeah, we had a bit of a challenge in 2018. I had to flip out the CEO for a new fellow, and he's now fully in charge, a guy named Dan Wilton, who's an ex-National Bank banker, and he's pretty enthused. A nice thing about him is when he was on the other side of the industry, he had looked at all these assets, and then First Mining Gold ended up buying most of the stuff that he was very familiar with. So he was quite when he heard that we were looking for a new CEO in the Q4 of 2018, he actually applied for the job. We actually didn't even look for him. He came to us, and we had 15 candidates, and we chose him over all the other candidates, and he's now in charge, and he's extremely motivated. He's doing some fantastic things for the company. I'm very excited. The of the work that he's doing, but the portfolio is great as well. And, you know, he's been handed probably, in my view anyways, one of the best gold development portfolios there is in the junior mining market. And, you know, you got 13 million ounces over several projects in Ontario, Quebec, and Newfoundland, and it's just going to take time. You know, when you got a portfolio of 25 assets, you know, you're not going to you know, grow that business overnight. And I've got patience. I think investors need to have patience, but you know, it's my primary gold investment, and I would suggest that, you know, other people look at it as you know, potential addition.
Yeah, I know a lot of folks here at TFMR have owned it, still own it. We've watched, you know, it with all the others struggle and flounder just because of the conditions in general. But I would sure think higher prices would be the cure for all ills across the sector, but for First Mining Gold too.
Well, for sure. But in the meantime, you know, look, we can, you know, First Majestic, First Mining, any of these mining companies, we, you know, we can't wait for higher prices. Yeah. You know, we all know higher prices are coming. That's just, you know, you don't know if it's going to be either tomorrow or next week or next year. And that really doesn't matter. Of course, I wanted it to happen yesterday. But you know, we can't plan for that. But what we can plan for in the case of First Majestic is creating efficiencies in the business by bringing the technology in, by doing things better. And I can tell you, technology is a big area that the mining sector is focusing on right now. And we've got, over the last 4 years, we've been deploying technology throughout the mines. And San Dimas, being our latest acquisition, will be getting a lot of our attention. Well, actually is now, but we'll be getting a lot of attention next year with a complete retrofit of the mill. So all that's going to just drive costs down and increase efficiencies. And, you know, when metal prices obviously go up, then of course that's going to be a huge, huge benefit for our shareholders. And, you know, in the case of First Mining Gold, you know, they just have to de-risk the assets. They got to either look for partners, or they got to do permitting. They got to do, you know, road construction. They got to do, you know, do things just to, you know, de-risk the assets and wait for the, you know, that time when, you know, of course, as we said, you know, prices go higher.
Yeah. To that end, let's kind of just wrap up with, I know you're a big picture guy. You know, besides running your companies, I know you're looking at economics, and you're looking at the global economy and interest rates and that kind of stuff. I've kind of had this theory going, and I think it's playing out pretty well so far, that this year, 2019, is a lot like 2010, in that in 2010 there were these green shoots everywhere, and the economy was growing, and QE1 was a one-time thing, and the Fed had it all under control. And by late 2010, it was QE2, and it was proof that they didn't have it under control. And it was at that loss of confidence in the dollar and in the economy that's when silver really started to spike, as did gold. Kind of see a lot of those dots connecting again here in 2018, 2019, and into 2020. Does that make sense? How do you feel about that idea? Does that sound good?
Yeah, you know, actually, you know, I think this market looks more like 2000, 2001. Because, you know, we had, you know, of course, we had the real estate bubble in 2008, 2009, and then we had the financial crash. And, you know, 2010 was a bit of a bounce year. And then all of a sudden, people lost faith in the U.S. dollar and financial assets. And they started flooding into, you know, physical assets like gold and silver. And which, of course, you know, created, you know, the highs that happened in 2011, which was a pretty exciting time. But, but that was quite a short-lived situation. You know, that really only lasted a couple of years, that whole run. I think we're going into a kind of a different phase where we're going to go into another 10-year bull market that looks more like the 2002-2011 run.
Mm-hmm.
And during that period, that 10-year period, of course, you've got ups and downs.
Right.
It's not straight up. There's, you know, every bull market has their correct major corrections, and so, you know, but I do think that this looks like more than like 2001, where we saw the Nasdaq bubble. You know, we saw the Nasdaq go from, you know, 5,000 to, you know, an 80% decline over a 3-year period, and then all of a sudden gold starts getting a bid in 2002, and, you know, lo and behold, within, you know, the next 10 years, you know, gold goes up 8 times and, you know, silver goes up 10 times. And, you know, the bases are in. You know, I think we've got a nice base in the, you know, $14 range on silver. We got a decent base in the $1,100 range on, on gold, you know, and you know, gold is of course much higher than that. But I'm just saying these are bases that are now intact, you know, and shows to me that we're already in a bull market. It's still early days, so no one actually can recognize it as being a bull market. But I think the bull market, we're probably about a year, maybe 2 years into a 10-year cycle. You know, I'm looking for similar types of moves that we saw in the previous 10-year bull cycle. So if we see, you know, 8 times and 10 times type moves as we did, you know, we could be looking, you know, 10 years out and, you know, at substantially higher metal prices than we are today. And, you know, I'm thinking we're going to see likely, you know, $1,400 gold by 2019 and looking at 2020, you know, being an election year, as a pretty volatile year for the markets, which is probably going to really be good for gold. And of course, as gold goes up, though, those kinds of prices is going to drag silver along as well.
So Keith, just for fun, final question. The company's lean, mean, you've used this time, you've used it well, you're at record production levels. Just tease me a little bit. What would $20 silver do for First Majestic?
Well, compared to today's price, let me just quickly do some math in my head here. It would add $125 million in profits to the bottom line. And when it comes to the stock price, it's a little bit hard to say. I don't want to be throwing numbers out, but I'll give you an idea of what happened in 2016, for example. And it's not the first time it's happened in the company's history, because the leverage to the price of silver that First Majestic shares have is not even, you know, we're, you know, not even close to any other mining company out there. When silver moves, our stock does crazy things. But we saw silver go from, you know, 1350 to just shy of 21 in January to July of 2016, and the stock went from $4 to $26. So basically, for every $1 move in the silver price, the stock went up $3.
There you go. That, I think that sounds about right. And that is about the move. That's what we're talking about here. That was, like you said, from near 14 to 21, and we're talking now 15 to 20, 21, 22. And that sounds good to me. And that certainly is a very good reminder that it has happened before as recently as a couple of years ago. And all the forces are aligning to have it happen again. So this is the time to still be making those plans and getting yourself not only financially but emotionally prepared for these next couple of years. Keith, I just so appreciate what you do. You're in there fighting the fight. You're taking care of 6,000 employees now and still find the time to visit with us at good old TFMR. So, I sure appreciate it, Keith. It's always great to talk to you.
Well, Craig, just one other comment. You know, the discussion we had just earlier about this 3-to-1 type of relationship, you know, that assumes that the ratio stays the same. You know, we're trading at 85-to-1, you know, which is historically quite unusual. If you go back, you know, 20, 30 years, it's only hit this type of ratio only a few times, and it doesn't hold very long. It can hold for a few years, but you know, we're mining, as people have probably heard me say, 8-to-1. So for every 1 ounce of gold worldwide that all miners are mining, only 8 ounces of silver being mined on the planet. And you compare the 8-to-1 to 85-to-1, you know, how can that hold up for any kind of time?
Yeah. I tell everybody that will listen, you want proof that the whole pricing system is a fraud, it's right there. I mean, that's how you get that gold silver ratio that far out of whack. It's because of the pricing scheme. One of these days we're going to defeat it. In the meantime, even under this scheme, even marginally higher prices will have a big impact on your companies. And we're just excited to get there with you. It's always fun to talk, Keith. I sure appreciate your time.
Well, we'll keep up doing what we're doing. And I appreciate your time as well, Craig. And thanks for the interview.
You got it. And thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again soon.